Well, good morning, friends. Good to be with you and welcome to Good Morning Live. Good to be back with you this morning. Apologies for my voice. I've been battling a cold since last night. Pretty much everybody in our house either went to bed or woke up saying, I'm congested and my throat hurts. So all six of us are down for the count. But glad to be with you anyway. Friday, thanks for the grace. We didn't go live on Friday, and that's because my wife texted me in the morning and said, hey, I got about an hour off before I have to go to our daughter Judy's field trip. You want to go on a breakfast date? And I said, yes, ma'am. So that's what happened on Friday. But good morning. Good to see you. Good to see you, Trace. Thanks for hopping on. Yeah, wherever you're watching from, if you're watching on a platform that you can comment or like or share, please do so. We've been averaging about 1,000 people watching us every day via all of our different platforms. And that's really been incredible. And actually, just from the popularity of this Good Morning Live program, the company that we use to put out all of our content and programs, we got a warning from them stating that our watch time, we're allotted so much kind of in the price frame that we pay for of views, and we have never in 2 years that we've been with them used up all that monthly watch time. But yesterday we got our first warning saying that, hey, your watch time is pretty low. And that what that means is more people are watching than ever. Not just this, but Pioneer Network itself, but this program in particular on the network. So we're glad about that. So thanks for being on with me today. Wow, what an amazing word Brian Willison released yesterday at Hope City Church. If you weren't there, catch up on it. It was a great, great word about real ID, who God has called you to be, the real you. And I thought that was so powerful. So if you didn't watch that, go back and catch up on that. But I want to hop into the word with you today. And I've been kind of just, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when God releases a word, or it takes me a few days sometimes to chew on it and ponder it, and I kind of just find myself on this little journey. And I think that's the best way. When you hear a word from the Lord is to, you know, that's what the Bible says, to meditate on the word of God. Good morning, Cheryl. Good morning, Haley. It's to kind of just chew on it and not just let it go in one ear and out the other. And so we were talking last week a little bit about the Holy Spirit and welcoming the Holy Spirit. And Cheryl brought Wednesday night on waiting on the Holy Spirit. And you know, I don't know, this week, it just seems like every time I turn around, there's just more stuff happening, more, I don't want to say drama, because it's not drama, it's usually good things happening, but that just keeps you busy, keeps you going, keeps you spinning, if you will. And I found myself, it kind of in light of what we were talking about waiting on the Lord and, you know, welcoming the Holy Spirit and developing that inward draw to the Holy Spirit and that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I just found myself like, oh yeah, we got this and I have that and we got to get over here. And, you know, there's so much that's good that's happening here on the network. I have some really key meetings this week coming up for the network, for some new programs coming on and new platforms to go out to. And next week we are trying to schedule our spring share-a-thon so that we can keep the television ministry going and increase our partner. And it just seems like there's a lot. And I just thought, you know, when I think about intimacy with the Holy Spirit, I think about that calm, still, small voice. And if you remember the scripture that says he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the wind, right? He wasn't in the earthquake, but he was in the still small voice. When I think about intimacy with the Holy Spirit, when I think about waiting on the Holy Spirit, I think of that peace that comes, that stillness, if you will, that quietness, if you will, of just resting and being at peace. And I thought, you know, God, I've been working on developing this intimacy part, intimacy with the Holy Spirit. But I thought, you know, I need to grow my peace a little bit. And here's the thing about peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. So we can grow in it. We can walk in. And that's what I want to talk about today is I truly believe that God wants us to live in peace. Not chaos, not stress, not anxiety. And true peace isn't about what's going on around us, right? But it's about what's happening on the inside of us. And even yesterday, as we were getting started at worship practice yesterday, there's just all kind of technology problems that are happening and, you know, stuff like that. And I just find myself walking around stressed out, putting out fires. And I remember a person in my world years ago who I asked him, I said, there's all kind of stuff happening. How are you not stressed out? And they said, oh, trust me, I'm stressed out. I just choose the greater, which is I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to get stressed out. I'm not going to live in that and go there. And I just, you know, yesterday after yesterday's kind of putting out all those fires, you know, a friend of mine walked in and they said, what's going on? I said, what do you mean? You know, and they're like, it's just all over your face. You're having some problems today. And it was just like, man, I've always been a person, you could tell on my face what's going on, but I want to be one of those people that just chooses what's greater, right? And walking in peace and not responding to the chaos and stress or anxiety that's happening around us, but having that solid, being present, being in the moment, the peace of God. And that's what Colossians 3:15 says to us, that let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And I love that scripture because with the emphasis on the word rule, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Because what I have found, something is always ruling in my heart. Something is always ruling in my heart. It can be worry, it can be anxiety, it can be fear, or it can be peace, or it can be love, or it can be gratitude. Like the fight of the Christian faith, right, isn't against the devil. The devil's a defeated foe, right? It's like Jesus already defeated him at the cross. The fight of the Christian faith is to keep the ruler of your heart the right ruler, right? Is to keep the ruler of your heart, not your mind, your will, your emotions, your anxiety, your fear, comments from other people. That's even a little bit what Brian was talking about yesterday of not allowing those words that were spoken to rule over your heart, not allowing the identities that were put on you to rule over your heart. Like the fight of the Christian faith is what's ruling over my heart, right? So Colossians says, let the peace of God in Christ rule over your heart. So my journey, and maybe if you're like me, is when we're in those moments of stress and anxiety and everything's happening, is to say, I got to choose in this moment what's ruling me. And in this moment, I'm going to choose peace. Another verse of scripture is John 14:27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Here's the thing. Peace isn't something that you have to work for, that you have to beg God for. Peace is a gift of God. He says, peace I leave with you. And here's what I love. My peace. Jesus's peace. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Again, look at this terminology. Let peace rule over your heart. Let not, or do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Both of these words are very, very much rooted in I don't want to say action words, but action words that we have control over, right? Action words that we are in control, decision words. not or let not your heart or do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be afraid. Let the peace of God, let the peace of God, there's that emphasis, let the peace of God rule over your heart. These are all words that have its root and foundation in our ability to give it permission to do what it's designed to do. So again, I would dare say that the fight to walk in peace isn't pushing back against the adversary, isn't, you know, trying to get the devil on the run. The fight for us to walk in peace is to simply allow, let, make room for, make a decision to allow peace to rule in our hearts. We don't have to earn it, peace. Jesus just said it's his peace that he's left us. All we have to do is receive it and walk in it. I don't know if you're like me, but many times in life I've thought, well, if I get everything right, like once this event is over and once that thing's done and this project is over, then I'll have no issues. Then I'll have peace, right? Like even the other day, if you were watching last week, I told you how we were got mulch in our house. And that's a big deal for us, right? I think I might have over-ordered mulch a little bit. But anyway, I found myself all stressed out because it wasn't all done. And I had to catch myself because I'm getting short with the kids. I'm getting short with Sarah because I got to get this mulch up. I got to get out of the driveway. We got to get in the flower beds, you know, all this stuff. And I thought, you know, this is supposed to be an enjoyable experience for me. And here I am stressed out, freaking out because it's not done on day two. Anybody else in the room with me, right? And just how my mind works. Well, once I get the mulch done and the flower beds are done, I'll love it and I'll enjoy it. And then I'll finally have peace. Why am I waiting? Right? I should be having peace doing gardening and working in the yard, doing what it is that I love to do, right? So again, we make the decision to know I'm not going to be stressed out. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be worryful. I'm not going to have anxiety. I'm not going to have fear. I'm going to choose to allow peace to do what it is that peace is assigned to do. And that's to rule in my heart, right? So we have to protect our peace. Just because you have peace doesn't mean you're automatically living it. Just because Jesus said, I give you peace, doesn't mean we automatically live in it. What does that mean? It means we must guard our heart and protect our peace. Listen to what Proverbs 4:23 says on the subject. Above all else, hold on, let's not get too far here. Above all else, above all else, above everything else that you do, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Come on. Above all else that you do in your Christian walk, in your Christian journey, in your Christian faith, above all else, guard your heart. Remember, let peace rule in your heart. It's decision. Guard your heart. Make sure that what's ruling your heart is what God has wants you to rule. Here are some common things that try to steal our peace and rule in our heart. Number one, worry and anxiety. Big time, right? Worry and anxiety likes to come in and say, well, what about tomorrow? You know, I forget what the study was, but it was like an overwhelming, like 98% of things that we worry about never manifest in our lives. Like, and it doesn't happen. And it's like, man, the amount of time that we spend worrying and in fear and anxious and, you know, and that's what the scripture says. Why worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow, worry about itself, right? Be present. Push against worry. Push against anxiety. Push against fear. Another thing that is very common to steal our peace, negative people. Negative people. There might be someone in your world as we speak who has a habitual habit of being negative. And I caution you of spending too much time around negative people, If I had my choice, I would spend no time around negative people. But sometimes we can't avoid that if it's our work environment or if it's family or whatever it is. But I don't, you know, there are some people in my life I walk away from, and it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter, you know, what kind of day I had. I walk away from being with them, and it's just, I feel inspired. I feel better. I feel hope. I feel like God can do anything just from a simple conversation, because they just have that faith, that way about them, right? And those are the people that we need to navigate towards. And those, let me just say this, those are the people that we need to be, that when we are encountering other people, that they're walking away from us, you know, oh, wow, you know, the weather's just been real bad and, you know, hell's breaking loose. And, you know, and I'm not, listen, I'm not saying you don't have some close people that when all hell is breaking loose in your life that you don't go to and you get that support from. But I'm saying is sometimes negative people can carry around with them a negative spirit where it doesn't matter how good or how bad, like their spirit's just negative. And those people, if you're not careful, they will come in and they will steal the peace of God from your heart. I call them wet blanket throwers, right? Like you're on fire for something. Like this is what God said. You're excited. You're ready to do it. And suddenly, you know, this is like Joseph telling his dream to the wrong people. And suddenly a wet blanket is thrown and you're like, oh, okay. Now, I want to say this, never get that confused with people in your life who have wisdom and who are mentoring you, all right? Never get that confused, because there are some things that somebody who has more wisdom and who has been where you want to go, or who's just, you know, has wisdom in business, will look at that and say, nope, that's not what you want to do. What you need to do first is A, B, and C. Like I remember thinking this week about how I started pastoring when I was 19, and man, I was probably too young to do it, but we did. But I didn't have a dollar. I mean, I could barely pay my rent at the time, but I remember loading up our stereo system and speakers and just, I didn't know anything else. We're just going to start a church service. And we did it here on Centerville Road and in a hotel and a hotel conference room. And we just started church. And it was years later that I was at a service and somebody was talking about how they're going to be starting a church, and they had spent a year in advance of that going around preaching at different places to different congregations, all to raise funds to launch the church. Like they, you know, they put money into the launch. And I just thought, well, isn't that an interesting concept to have money before you launch the thing? Like that would have saved me quite a few years of hard work and failures and pain had somebody said, hey, you probably want to raise some money and some capital before you launch a new church. But nobody told me that. So my point is there's a difference between somebody in your life who has wisdom and is mentoring you, who's coming in saying, listen, I believe in your dream, but here's some practical steps, versus somebody who's given up on their dreams, who can't stand that you are pursuing your dream. Come on. So that what makes them feel better is to bring you down to where they are, right? Because if you pursue your dreams, it shines a light on the fact that they have given up their dreams. So we want to stay away from negative people, but never get confused with a negative person and somebody who just has wisdom and is trying to help you get there. And that's kind of the difference, is this helping me still get there, but get there safely or get there with wisdom, right? Another thing that often steals peace is overcommitment. Overcommitment. Any overcommitters in the room today who you have a hard time saying no? You have a hard time saying no. Sometimes you have to say no to things, even good things, if you want to protect your peace. You cannot be everything to every person. You cannot do everything for everyone. And when you do that, you will run dry, and then you will be good to no one, because you won't have peace. You'll be stressed out. You'll be anxious. So sometimes you have to say no in order to say yes to the right things. Saying no to even great things, good things, will empower me to say yes to what really matters. So every time you say yes to something, make sure you're not saying no to your own well-being. Make sure you're not saying no to your family, which matters above all. Make sure you're not saying no to your spiritual health. Remember when I was a young kid, a prophet came into our church, and I had to be 10, 11 years old, and she prophesied, and she said, I see you running from service to service to service, but I see you real thin and frail. And she said, there's going to be the potential for you not to eat. And God's going to use you, but you have to make sure that you eat. And, you know, I stood against that curse, right? But years later, I discovered it had nothing to do with my food intake. It had to do with my spiritual food intake. Because that's me to the core. I can go from this service to that service, and let's do this thing and that thing and doing all these things. But if I'm not careful, I forget to eat. And what I mean by eat, I mean spending time with the Holy Spirit, feasting on the Word of God myself, having intake myself. And it's like, well, God, we want to do this thing, and we got to be that over there, and we have to go over here. And if I'm not careful, I'll be running, but I'm empty and dry with no life. So, saying yes to the right things is only possible if you say no to what you're not assigned to. You were never meant to carry the weight of this world. Right, so that's why God invites us to cast our cares on Him. 1 Peter 5:7 says that casting all of your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. How can I have peace? How can I have peace, God, when there are bills that are due? How can I have peace when, you know, this project is due? How can I have peace when, you know, my kids aren't living for you? How can I have peace? Casting all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Knowing the love of God releases you from the bondage of fear and anxiety, and enables us to cast, which literally means to throw forcefully, not lightly hand over. Casting is a forceful throwing. Worry is like carrying a heavy backpack that you were never meant to bear. And God has not anointed you to worry. He anoints you to live free. So today we can have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. Today we can choose peace over stress, over chaos, over fear. Why? Because peace belongs to me. I choose peace. I live in peace. Listen to what Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep me," speaking of us, "in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed on you, because he trusts in you." There's that key again. Trust. I can cast all my fear. Why? Because he cares for me. So because I know he cares for me, I can trust him that I can live in perfect peace. A revelation of the love of God. Listen, he loves me and he's working on my behalf. He loves me and he hasn't set me up to fail. He loves my kids more than I love them. So I'm going to trust him and I'm not going to carry that weight or that burden. I'm going to trust him to do what only he can do. Father, would you help us today to choose to live in peace? Would you help us today to choose peace over worry and fear? Would you help us let peace roll? Would we choose to live in peace? And when fear or anxiety or worry or negativity or negative people or circumstance comes knocking at our door, Father, help us respond in peace and say, no. The peace of God rules over my heart today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, I know I'm a little bit shorter today, but as I said when we first started, I'm battling a little bit of a cold here. And so I want to choose peace and give my voice a little bit more rest today. But thank you so much for being on with me. Always a pleasure to be on Good Morning Live with you. And I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Be blessed.